Another few names for the story is the worn-out dancing shoes or the shoes that were danced to pieces.
We should have gone with those.
That should have been the name of our podcast. We should have just been the shoes that were danced to pieces.
Says, I feel like the shoes that were danced to pieces right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. This week, we'll be tackling 2006's Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses. Alyssa, take it away with a summary.
Cool. So we open up with a castle scene and a bunch of girls running around the castle and the king trying to talk to like someone visiting, doing some business. But there are girls playing croquet, catching bugs. They're just having a good time. And we find out that there are 12 of them. And here are their names. I'm not as good as my little sister who has all of them memorized, so I will read them off to you. Okay, so we have Ashlyn. This is from oldest to youngest, and you might recognize a pattern. We have Ashlyn, Blair, Courtney, Delia, Adeline, Fallon, Genevieve, Hadley, Isla, Janessa, Kathleen, and Lacey. So just A to L. We have all of them, and they all have something that they like to do. Like Courtney likes to read, and Blair likes to ride horses. And yeah, they all have something that's kind of unique and kind of their only character trait. So, and they all have different dresses that have different flowers on them. This will be important later. Okay, so after talking to the steward or whoever the king was talking to, he realizes that his daughters are a little out of hand. And he's having trouble as a single father raising them after his wife had died at the most 5 years ago, because the youngest girls who are triplets are all 5 years old. So that's the only information we know about how recently she died. Anyway, the king realizes that he does not have a handle on these girls and they are not like princesses enough. So he fetches his cousin, Rowena, who is just looking to take the throne, in short. But he invites her to straighten out his girls. So she does that, and she, like, makes them wear gray and take lessons from her. And she just is not treating them well. She's just rude. She doesn't know any of their names. She calls one of the older girls Lacey, who's the youngest. And we're like, come on, girl, there's a pattern. They're in alphabetical order. So in the midst of all this, they still want to celebrate the youngest sister's birthday. They're triplets. And so they want to celebrate Janessa, Kathleen, and Lacey. And so they all give them flower books that they all got from their mom on their fifth birthday, which has their token flower on it. And then they realize that the token flower on their book matches the token flower on the floor. There's 12 of them and they're all different. And they're like, wow, we never noticed this before. So, and the books that they all received are the story of the 12 Dancing Princesses, which is an actual story by the Brothers Grimm. So they read about a girl who dances and dances into a magical world. And then she can dance all night. And then on the third night, the thing disappears. So they're like, huh. So we read all the story and we all have books that have the token flower on the ground. What if we, so then the middle sister, Genevieve, our protagonist, our Barbie, decides to dance on the flowers, but she's like, it isn't working. So then she's like, there's an order. So she starts from the oldest sister's flower and dances around the circle and then opens a magic portal. And they're like, wow, they go into the portal and they dance all night on grass, which would really mess up your shoes. And it does. They come back into the real world and the next morning and they fetch the cobbler whose name is Derek. And he's madly in love with Genevieve. And they are both very shy and don't like to talk to each other because they're nervous. But everyone teases them about liking each other. But really, they don't have very much interaction at all. So they get new shoes from Derek. the cobbler, and they're all really excited to dance again. But then Rowena catches wind that they have been dancing because they're all tired because they danced all night. And she's like, what's happening here? She's like, I guess that they are all leaving to go dance with princes and they're going to take the throne, which I'm trying to steal. So she gets mad and she's like, locks down. She's like, bedtime, locks the doors, sets her guard or her henchman. What's his name?
Oh, no, I love him so much.
Desmond.
Desmond. Oh, Desmond, yes.
But I think earlier that day, Genevieve is playing chess with the king, her dad, and they're like having a good time. And she notices Rowena go out and have a little shady exchange with this creepy guy. And she's like, what's that about? So then she sends Derek to go after him to like figure it out. And he's an apothecary, which could be synonymous with drug dealer. And he finds out that Rowena sold him the queen's goblet in exchange for some drugs or some poison, if you will. So we're like, that's interesting. And we do see Rowena slip some poison into the king's cup a few times. So we're like, oh no, she's poisoning the king. And he becomes all sick. So the king's sick. The girls have gone dancing. And so Rowena is stressed. So they go dance. Hold on. I'm like trying to think what happened.
We're at the scene of dancing that came the dancing is, the other scene of dancing.
Have we got to the she poisoning with the tea?
She's poisoning the king. Okay, so that
with the apothecary drugs and he sold his horse.
Right. So they go through the dancing pavilion in the magic portal another night. And the same thing happens again. Rowena locks down. She's furious. So then on the last night, they're like, we're not coming back. So then they go and they're like staying there. And they're like, we're not going to come out for Rowena. But then Rowena goes into the room after following her monkey, which I forgot to mention. Her monkey is
Brutus.
And always fights with Genevieve's pet tiger. I don't know why they have all of these exotic animals. Oh yeah, Derek has a parrot. I don't know why all these exotic animals are here, but here we are.
Lots of elite stuff.
So the monkey caught wind of Genevieve dancing on the tiles. So then he shows Rowena, and the tiles, when you dance on them, they light up. So then Rowena's like, there's magic here. So she asks Desmond to smash all the tiles. So then they're smashed, and then the magical world starts to disappear while the girls are still in it. So they're like, we got to get out of here. So then they're like trying to figure out a way to get out, but then like can't. But oh yeah, before the tiles are smashed.
No, Derek figured it out because of the grease.
Yeah.
So he's like, there's shoe grease here, but there's more here than there is there.
Right. There's like an actual pavilion at their castle that resembles the magical one. And Genevieve was like practicing her little like dance across the tiles out there. And Derek's like, interesting. So then he goes and he like sees the he sees the tiles in their room and he's like, oh, that looks familiar. And then he sees her shoe polish on the ground. He's like, she must have started here where the polish is thickest.
My shoe polish over there and there. Newsflash! She walked in her own room, but not everywhere. She started here where the polish is thickest.
So then he does a little dance around and meets her there. And then Rowena comes and smashes the tiles. So Derek's in there and he is like, ladies, like Rowena is kind of shady. So like, we got to watch out for her. Things are starting to disappear. So then they're like, the boat that they get on into the island in the magical world disappears. So they're like, how are we going to get out of here? So there's more tiles on the dance pavilion. And so they're like, we do the dance. And then Genevieve tries it. And she's like, it's not working. And then Derek also tries it. And he's like, it's not working. So then they try it again together. And then the girls are like, they have to do it together. That's so romantic.
You have to dance together. Oh, how romantic.
So then they dance across the tiles and then they like go up into the sky. and like all the girls follow them up. And then they end up in the pavilion that's in their castle, that's next to their castle. And then Rowena, who at this point has become queen after the king is too sick to rule the kingdom. So she is placed in order against the princesses and called them traitors. So guards are like looking to like seize them. So they're like trying to run around, and they each use their like token special talent to like distract the guards or like get away. And so then there becomes a showdown in the king's bedroom after he dies. And Rowena reveals that she's been trying to poison him to him. And his dying words are like, "Rowena, what have you done?" And then he like dies.
"Rowena, what have you done?"
So then Genevieve and Derek and Lacey come in, and they're like, you know, finding Rowena. And Rowena has a flower from the magic pavilion that grants a wish when you use it. So then she's like, "I'm going to use this against Genevieve." So then she says, "I wish you were going to dance forever and ever." And she casts the magic dust on Genevieve. But Genevieve pulls out her fan and blows the dust to Rowena. And then Rowena starts dancing forever. And then Desmond, like the good henchman he is, grabs her hand and dances with her forever and ever. So they leave away. And then Lacey also picked up a magical property from the portal, which was healing water. So she poured some healing water into her dad's mouth, and the king is restored. And he's like, "I have no idea Rowena was such a bad lady." And they're like, "Yeah, dad, we were trying to tell you the whole time." but it turns out great. And then Derek and Genevieve get married, and then that's the end. Woo! I hope you guys followed along.
Yeah. It's so funny that Derek and Genevieve go from literally not even being able to like make eye contact two scenes before to getting marriage. Married. What? Yeah,
I feel like it's not at all necessary.
I think they're good. Marriage is easy.
Yeah, on Wikipedia, like, Genevieve is supposed to be 16. She's the seventh sister. The oldest sister is 22, and none of them other sisters are married or like even apparently meeting men, and they all live in one room together and they sleep.
Well, like, this is what we realized in the whole thing. It's like, it's just like such a weird, because like, one, what it turns out, Rowena is doing all of this because she doesn't want them to go out and find love. So they get married and take the thing. And it's like, lady, these are 12 sisters who sleep in the same bed and seem to only go out to like one man. I think you're so good. Like, and the only man they seem to interact with is a commoner who's only likes one of them. Like, you're fine. Like, I don't think they're going to go. Like, yeah. You're good. Like, you didn't need to do any of this.
At that, she's like the seventh in line.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's like one of those things. And also, like, that's like why the whole conceit of this is so weird to me, when the dad's like, "You're all going to run this kingdom one day." I'm like, what kind? No, they're not. Not all 12 of them. That's lunacy. 12 people running a single kingdom. That's insanity. Well, that's not a kingdom. Like, what? It's
oligarchy.
Yeah. Right. Like, at that point, it's like, this is unrelated, but I just thought I need to say it as I did some research. In Scotland, the story is called Katie Crackernuts. So I think Barbie and Katie Crackernuts would have been a better movie.
Barbie as Katie Crackernuts.
Also Catherine Crackernuts in some versions.
Oh.
The proper
form. Yeah, if you want to be classy. But so, yeah, that's in my mind. Barbie is Catherine Crackernuts.
I think it's funny, too, that Genevieve's whole thing, like, they each have, like, a special talent, like, I think Hadley and Isla like walk on stilts. Like, that's a weird talent.
Classic.
What they do, right? Barbie's thing is lateness and being the main character.
Oh, and then the little sister's thing is being useless.
Sucking.
Oh, being clumsy.
Being perpetually just a lump that they have to deal with. Like, I'm glad she comes through in the end, but still. lump.
She can't get on the bed and gets everyone in trouble. She gets captured by Desmond at the end. Like, the Barbie, they have to, like, save her.
She just happened to have taken some water. Water she only had because she hurt herself and they had to use it earlier.
Yeah, she fell down and scraped her knee. And Genevieve had to clean her up, like always.
You're telling me she's going to run the kingdom? Really? That one?
Mm-mm. To be fair, this is the 12th child, and she's part of a set of triplets. Like, the genetic makeup, like, cannot have, should have, must have been, like, running out by the time they got down to the triplets.
Yeah, no, it's concerning. A lot of things, I'm like, I don't, that poor woman. She lived in her entire life giving birth to 12, like, she was always pregnant, and then she died. The end. That was her life story.
It's a rough existence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Personally, I feel like if, like, Rowena just came in not being evil, being like, hey, I think, you know, maybe I should do this because you seem to be having a rough time. He would have probably been like, yeah, okay, that adds up. Like I just think they didn't seem very committed to ruling. So I think if she was like, can I just, like, be in charge and you can, like, just stay in the castle? He would be like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, then my daughters can go walk on stilts and be happy. Also, I guess it is implied at the beginning that she has no money because her carriage falls apart, which I think is a weird thing to, like, begin with, but never, like, follow up on.
Yeah. And also, can you talk about her dress?
Yeah. This is a fun thing I learned or thought of. So, like, part of the visual storytelling, which Barbie sometimes does when it feels like it. Who knows? It was fine. Okay. It's Katie Cracker nuts. What can we expect? But basically, like, part of it, like, period wise, it's actually really clever because Rowena's clothing is really nice, but it's also like a few seasons or like years, like before what everyone else is wearing, which shows that, like, even though she is, like, still technically in a place of, like, you know, she's the cousin to the king, so she's probably like a duchess or some sort thing, or maybe she is a duchess. I think they may have said it, but she, like, still has class and nobility, but she doesn't have any money. So, like, she's stuck wearing the same, like, really nice stuff, but it's really old. So I just think that's really clever. It's a nice touch. You know what? I'm here for Rowena. She's really hot. Like, she's really hot. And I'm like, you could kill me. Like, I'm okay with it.
Well, Rowena, mm-hmm. too, is voiced by the great Catherine O'Hara. So just all around stellar acting performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think she is a powerhouse of a character, even though she annoys me.
I mean, she has, I think the best line, as this movie is a little lacking on the quotes, is her looking at Brutus going, you're still a monkey.
Princes! They're out dancing with princes! Do you know what that means? You're still a monkey.
That implies so much. Like, is he not really a monkey? Why did you say that? What were you expecting her to be?
Yeah, she was, like, asking him a question, and she was, like, expecting an answer.
Never mind. I forgot you can't talk.
You're still a monkey.
I can't answer my question. You're still a monkey.
He's just so weird. Also, her relationship with Desmond is lovely.
I love Desmond, and it's not in, like, I'm an attracted to Desmond kind of way, but as a character, mm-hmm. I love that he's just a lump of a human. He doesn't seem to be thinking about much other than just doing what Rowena tells him to, and she's like, smash.
Lily likes a good himbo. If there's a himbo out there, Lily loves one. Lily just is a big, strong, like, dumb man.
I like
so stupid, head empty, no thoughts.
Exactly. And his one line that he says, like, at the end of the movie is when he tries to help Rowena get sucked into the dancing magic and they dance off into the night. He says, you're a lovely dancer. I should have brought me other shoes.
Like, he's more than happy to be stuck with her for eternity dancing. It's lovely.
He really is.
That's really the love story I was following.
We love to hear it. Okay, yeah, we've got to talk about this love story. For me, Derek's a little bit lacking, but Alyssa and I were doing some research earlier, and I think I'm starting to put the pieces together of a deeper story with Derek.
Oh, my God.
So there's a line where the parrot's like,
I can't leave you two alone.
where are the quotable lines? Oh, it's on the IMDb. Sorry. I got to switch my other tab. Yes, the parrot says, "The last time someone messed with my master, he was never seen or heard from again." And Derek says, "That's not true." And then the parrot says, "You're right. They did find a shoe," which is like sort of funny. But like, what if it was true? So here's my headcanon. Derek is actually a former gangster who was maybe pretending to be a cobbler to go to the palace to maybe steal something. But there, he falls for Genevieve, or just like likes all the sisters. And so he decides to stop being some sort of criminal and just stick to being a cobbler. But it explains why he's able to hunt down the apothecary. Like, how is he able to track
drug dealer?
And he breaks into the palace later on to like help the girls out because they're like missing. And that they never explain how he like manages to get in there, because like it's a castle. Like, sure, maybe there's a window open, but it's probably like hard to get there. So my theory is that he's a reformed criminal. I think it's just a lot more fun than him just being kind of boring.
Yeah,
he's a cobbler. And it follows. Poor man trying to make money, Lily. Sometimes it's hard. Okay.
It supports the greater theory that Princess Genevieve is Queen Genevieve in Princess and the Pauper,
because
they're both blonde. They have the same name. But the only problem is like what happened to Derek. Like, she would have had to marry another guy to be ruler of that kingdom. So if Derek's past caught up to him and someone got him,
I'm not questioning then, like,
she would have to remarry.
Oh my gosh, and this explains why the country that she moves to goes like bankrupt, because she's not good at her job. As set up in 12 Dancing Princesses. She's bad at being a princess. So she's probably even worse at being a queen. It all adds up. The thoughts are connecting. Wait, is there a Barbie multiverse fan theory? Wow, I'm Googling it. We did kind of start the, in our first episode, we did talk a lot about the multiverse theory of Barbie.
But now we can maybe, what if it was all just one universe? They're all happening at the same place.
Oh God, I'm on the Barbie Reddit. That's too much for me. Barbie movie multiverse. Oh my gosh. Oh no. Oh my God. I'm on some deep stuff.
We should do like a we should do some sort of a recap episode or like a revisited. Just, you know, we're at the end of our
oh my god,
at our like original canon of movies that we had like seen. I mean, I guess maybe Island Princess is the end of it, even though I've never seen that one. But like, y'all, I think y'all.
Yeah, well, I saw Island Princess kind of recently, so I think this is the last of the ones that I like grew up with.
Yeah, so this is the last movie in our canon of like the ones that we knew and watched like growing up. So now we'll have to go back and see all the things that we forgot to talk about in previous episodes. I definitely noticed stuff like when I listened.
Wait, so somebody in Swan Lake's supposed to be the mother of Erica? What is this?
Who is Erica's mother in Swan Lake?
No, Erica's
sister.
Yeah, Mimi. Yes. Wait, share screen. Hold up. I assume this is what you all were doing. I don't know. Look at this. This woman in a chart. So if anything, while this movie may have a lot, it leads to the multiverse theory. And that's just the magic of Katie Cracker Nuts. A name that will never not be funny to me.
Amazing. Yeah, we really didn't talk much about this movie.
It was great. It's called the 12 Dancing Princesses. What do you think happens in it? There are 12 princesses, and then they dance.
They stick very closely to the like fairy tale source material, so it doesn't go too deep, but it's a lot of fun. It's a fun ride along the way.
The original fairy tale, people get murdered. There's a prince and it's murdery.
I feel like this movie doesn't have the depth that some of the other ones do, just because there's like 12 characters. So it's like you can't really dive that deep into one. Like, even Genevieve, like, her characteristics is that like she plays chess and she's like late to things and she doesn't like to tell Derek, or she's kind of shy around Derek. I'm like,
Yeah.
You know?
I will say it's very interesting. The Wikipedia with all the sisters have a lot more information on them than what I like gathered from the film. I was like, wow.
Yeah. They said that Delia and Adeline were fraternal twins, and I did not pick that up.
Yeah. Nope. Mm-mm.
But, I mean, I guess there's more, like, I guess, like, Genevieve is really caring and stuff. But, yeah. I watched Princess and the Popper last night, or not last night, two nights ago. And, like, I know that one's, like, objectively the best one, but, like, watching that one and then watching this one, it's, like, you don't really get to know the characters as much, and there's also not as much of a love story than like some of the other ones that develop more, like even Magic of Pegasus. I feel like that one like develops more into like a friendship and then a romance. But then it's like, this is kind of like high school, like, oh, like he likes you and like, oh, she likes you. And then they're like, oh, I guess we're going to get married now.
And it's just you know? It's like, by the fact that he's the only man they seem to know.
Right.
Like, they're like, even in the wedding scene, there's no one else there, but the other princesses and the dad. That's weird. She doesn't want another man. She doesn't know another man. Probably the other princesses are like, darn, she took the only man. Now we'll never have a man.
Especially her six sisters who are all like older than her and adults and like trapped.
They deserved a man. I want the sisters. Also, according to the Wikipedia, the eldest sister was the one who resembled the mother the most. So.
Lovely. You know, I wish they would have made the mom more of a character. They're kind of like, oh, there's.
He had a portrait, Lily. What else do you want from her?
And like they gave him the books, but I wish the love story had been like about like a mother's love for her daughters and less about like this kind of generic, like, and like maybe like something that their mother taught them is what like saves them from Rowena in the end or something.
Her mother taught them to have nice books and then magically dance.
I guess you could argue that she does, because like I think they mentioned that they all danced because their mom did, and like they had that bond with her, I guess. But
also her mom, I mean, this was a very elaborate plan, their mom. Like, when was she doing this? Like, when was she working this out? Like, okay, gotta have 12 kids and then the tiles are gonna do magic stuff and gotta make sure I got books for all of them. What? And then, like, I wonder if, like, they ever were, like, you're, like, with the dad, if there ever was, like, hey, you know, like, I can't remember the first one's name.
Ashlyn,
a name girl, you know, and me, we're the oldest, and we're, like, maybe want to move out of our rooms. I was, like, no, your mother left me one instruction. You must all stay in the room together. You may never leave. Oh, okay. Do you know why? No, your mother did not tell me that much. Okay, it just feels a little weird. Like, I'm 22. I'm an adult woman, but all right.
Yeah, they all do share the same room, which would be much for a 22-year-old to share with like three of her 5-year-old sisters.
One of whom collects bugs.
One of them who can't get into a bed. That's concerning. Get that girl a stool. Also, they have little trunks. Why didn't she climb up on the little trunk and then into the bed? I'm so confused. I guess, like, statistically, if you have 12 daughters, a few of them are going to be duds.
I think one big issue for me in this movie, I mean, it's not like the parents are ever, like, particularly fun, but it's almost like the dad, like, the king is, like, a bad actor, which is funny. He's animated, so that shouldn't be possible, but somehow it just seems
he always looks very, like, his face, like, even before he starts dying, he looks like he's dying. Man is in perpetual death. He seems like a weak man. He does not fit to rule the kingdom.
Yeah, he seems pretty soft.
Yeah. Also, because his daughters are like, hey, we're being abused. And he's like,
They're like, Rowena's telling us what to do, and she's not very nice. And he's like, that's what I asked her to do.
I asked her to abuse you. Now let's play chess. Also, isn't it weird you're all wearing gray now? What's that about?
I don't think that any further, and then we can't sing to you anymore. And...
Why are those two whose names I don't remember not on stilts anymore? Your mother and I made a deal. We remembered half of your name. She remembered six. I remembered the other six. She's dead now, so I don't know six of your names. Ha ha ha! That's my headcanon.
I love that.
Yeah. Because when she gets their birthday, I think he actually was just like, oh, yes, I forgot we had three other ones. I'm going to go die in this bed now.
He was like doing a bad job of running the kingdom and just like a totally absent parent.
Because he was dying for the last half of the movie.
But then the first half, he was
just... You know what? He just took it like a whip. He was like, I guess I'll die. He didn't at all try to investigate, like, what has changed within the last few days, for now I am suddenly sick. Is it the weirdly mysterious woman who's constantly lurking around the castle dressed in dark colors who menaces my daughters? No. Who, like, every time she hands me tea, maniacally laughs a little bit? No. Who has that freaky little monkey and a very strong man who follows? No.
I also love how each of the three villain characters have, like, a moment where they, like, appear in the background somewhere before, like, the other characters notice them. It's very...
ominous.
Very ominous. But also the landscapes look better in this film. I forgot.
They do.
Sorry, that was the first thing we said when the movie came. We're like, huh.
Yeah, it seems to be they did a lot more rendering, and it wasn't like Princess and the Pauper where the kingdom's kind of just on a cliff, so they only
they had ran to render it. Blender a few times to make sure it looked nice. Just like okay, like it looked like their feet were touching a ground, not just like slightly hovering over the base of a what was maybe a ground.
I also thought the music was really good. Well, and if you've ever even just seen the trailer for 12 Dancing Princesses, you've probably had the song stuck in your head. Like the so you're welcome. It's gonna get stuck in your head for the next month now. But like we've kind of talked about the plot subpar. But I really enjoyed the dancing. Like, and it's all dancing that like I feel like fits the music very well. And it's not really this isn't from my knowledge a ballet. So like they kind of had to like do like fresh choreography for like what they did, and I really like it. And like there's really cool formations with like the 12 girls when they're dancing like in the pavilion, the magical pavilion. So that's like that's what I watched the movie for, is like the dancing, because it's like the plot's just so, if I was wanted to watch a Barbie movie for the plot, I would be watching Princess and the Pauper. This one has like really good dancing.
Also, if you watch it with Alyssa, you get her going, are they wearing point shoes? No. Yes. But where are the ribbons? Why are the ribbons up that high? You get a play-by-play of the shoes in the movie, which I think enhances your experience and I believe should come as like a bonus feature.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It does bother me. There's a couple times in the beginning where they're dancing without ribbons. I'm like, girl, you're going to break your ankles.
Oh, jeez, I didn't realize it was that.
He's really concerned about the orthopedics of these people. Like,
I know, but, and it does kind of bother me watching them do point on grass, but it does make sense because at the end they're like, oh, we worn out our whole shoes. I'm like, yeah, you're dancing on grass.
They're like again, dancing on like cement, grass and so. Concrete. That's going to happen.
Right? It's going to happen. So.
You also break your feet. I don't know what.
So Alyssa had to log out.
Alyssa's definitely still here. She's just going to be silenter than normal.
She doesn't know anything about music, so she's not going to be talking about this stuff.
Not Alyssa. We've muted her. She's gone crazy. She's just started babbling. Alyssa, stop. We'll have to call the doctor.
So the music in this movie is really good. So we heard of a little bit of the 12 Dancing Princesses theme song, which was original, but most of the rest of the sort of classical style music in the movie was pulled from the canon of Felix Mendelssohn, a classical musician of let me see.
Wait, are you Googling Felix Mendelssohn right now?
No. He's a German composer. Also,
his full name is Jacob Ludwig Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy.
Huh. Well, I'm glad I went with Felix. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the parrot's name is actually Felix. Like, I don't really say it.
That's kind of nice.
It's like a nice little tribute. I like that.
So they could do a tribute to Felix, but not to my girl, Katie?
Apparently not. That's really
upset.
Rude. So yeah, the 12 Dancing Princesses theme song, that's choral, is original. And then there's a couple other like classical pieces that they use that are not from Mendelssohn. But the ones where they kind of use his score throughout the movie, they use movements from his, I'm not sure if it's a ballet or an opera, Midsummer Night's Dream, when they go into the magical world. And then they also use his fourth and fifth symphonies when they're dancing in the garden. And the last movement of Mendelssohn's Fourth Symphony, for the confrontation with Rowena and Desmond when they're like fighting and like deceiving the guards, so kind of using them. And then when Rowena and Desmond dance off into the moonlight, it's a tarantella by Gottschalk.
But Lily, you're missing the most important piece of music that was featured within the film.
What piece of music is that, Gelsie?
The hit song Shine!
What? Tell me more about it.
Why not Shine? Well, in this version, it was performed by Cassidy Layden, who is not anybody really, but Shine is actually a song called Phos, which is Greek for basically shine, by Greek pop artist Helena Paparizou, who, I'm so sorry to our Greek listeners, I don't know how to pronounce that name, who is a Swedish Greek pop singer who's actually a pretty big deal and won Eurovision in 2001 and like had a really large career toward. I think if you speak to any Y2K Greek loving person, they will know all about her, as her Wikipedia is quite vast. And also, she apparently was often referred to as the Greek Celine Dion or Madonna. So clearly, she was quite popular. Also, apparently, she did stuff with Shakira at some point.
Amazing.
So what didn't she do? So basically, I mean, you can have your Felix Mendelssohn, but I'll be taking my Helena I can't pronounce it right. But for whatever reason, they decided that they should make an English version of this song to add into the movie, which I think the adventure they went on to get here must have just been lovely. Be like, we need the perfect song that sounds kind of religious, we noticed, and also doesn't really relate to the movie. We need that song, so we need to translate it from Greece. Like from Greek. Also, the song like wasn't English. Like there wasn't like Cassie Ladin had the song translated before singing it. Like it had to have been done for the film, which I think is weird. There's just so many questions, but no answers.
Huh, that's so interesting. And she just, if you're interested in Helena Paparizou, she just came out with a new album in 2021 this year called Aphorosis, which I guess. Probably means
something.
It means shades in English.
Yeah. I love that.
Cool. She seems pretty cool. So that was
go stand.
Awesome addition to the Barbie Princess and the Pop. No! To the Barbie 12 Dancing Princesses.
Which is the prequel to Princess and the Pop.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Girls Like You, make sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights you think we should or should have covered in this or any other episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page. Remember,
Katie Cracker Nuts. That's it. Just remember that.
And he's still a monkey.
And he is still a monkey.
Still a monkey. Even now, 15 years later, still a monkey.
And they're still dancing out there. Maybe the friends we made along the way were the Katie Cracker Nuts. And I don't know what I'm saying. It's so late. We're all Katie in the end. Which they could have named the K-name girl Katie and given it to its Scottish roots.
Yeah, she could have been like a Catherine or something.
Gosh, Barbie is weak. They are scared to bring Katie Cracker Nuts into the canon.
Well, that is interesting. And Alyssa, do you have to go? Because Gelsie and I can finish up the last couple of things. So I wanted her to talk about the Greek pop musician again.
Because we can say the ending together, and then we'll just edit in Thanks.
Yeah, you should talk about Midsummer Night's Dream too.
Yeah, I'll talk about all the Felix Mendelssohn stuff, but I don't want to think.
You guys went on the whole thing why I was gone. It's like, they're like, oh yes, we should mention all the Felix Mendelssohn stuff. Should we? What?